Again, we take you to Centerville to join the American family Robinson. In our last program, Arcadia Incorporated became defunct. Editor Luke Robinson returned to the Arcadians the funds which its organizer, Professor Broadbelt, was about to appropriate for himself, and invited them to join the ranks of Centervillians who seek to maintain our economic structure instead of sacrificing it to radical theories. The Arcadians enthusiastically accept the invitation, and peace descended on the town. And Betty and Dick are once again headed for matrimony. Mr. and Mrs. Robinson had just decided their troubles were over when Windy Bill turned up, a long-lost brother of Mrs. Robinson, who has announced his intention of making them an extended visit while seeking an outlet for his enthusiastic liberalism. According to him, he's colossal. We find him now in fine form, holding the floor in the Robinson living room, unaware of the gloom which has settled over the family.
A fine dinner, Myra. Well, sir, you'd have to go a long way to find a better one. Now, the roast beef, marvelous. A little overdone, I thought. But for an amateur cook, well, very good. Now, you take roast beef as you get it at the Ritz, for instance. The dinners I've had at the Ritz.
And many's the dinner I hope you get there again. You know, you ought to be out in the great world, Wendy. And I aim to see to it that you get there. Dave Markham might be able to use his traveling salesman.
Not another word, Luke. Just put your mind at rest. And don't you bother about Myra's cooking. I'm something of a chef myself. And I've got some special dishes I can teach her to make that'll revolutionize the Robinson palate. Why, in a month or two, you won't know your own dinner table.
I'll be lucky if I have one.
I'm afraid you'll find it hard to change us, Bill. We're pretty simple folk. We like simplicity.
Stodginess, you mean. What you need is a little stirring up. Come on now, what are we doing this evening?
Well, I'm retiring to a quiet corner, if I can find one. Read a book.
Not me. I've read a book. What about you, Betty? How about you and me tearing out to do a little stepping?
Sorry, Uncle Windy. Dick Collins is coming over.
It's all right. Nobody ever accused Windy Bill of being selfish. We'll take him along. He's a little slow, but we'll pick him up. Eh, Betty? He needs it.
What's the matter with that young man?
No zip. No imagination. Still, something might be done with him. I'll tell you what I'll do. Now, I've got a friend handling a line of practical joke novelties. You know, exploding cigars, collapsing chairs. Why, there's a million in it. Yes, sir. I'll do it as a wedding gift, Betty. I'll give you a letter to my friend that'll open the gates of fame and fortune for your young man.
Thank you, Uncle Windy. And will you include the stamp?
Betty, don't forget he's your uncle and a guest.
I wish I could forget it. Anyway, he isn't going to talk about Dick like that around me. He can take his exploding cigars and collapsing chairs right out of my affairs. They'll win back.
Betty, please.
Now, never mind, Myra. But what about this, tell me.
Yes, I'll tell you about that novelty business, Wendy. If it's so good, why don't you go into it? You know, I should think it would be just the thing for you.
Business? Me go into business? Oh, no, sir. Not in a million years. Me and business are all washed up. It's crooked. All of it crooked. I couldn't go into business and look myself in the face again.
Why, what makes you think all business is crooked?
Well, it must be. Look what happened to me. I spent the best years of my life trying to be an honest businessman. And what do I get for it? Nothing. That's what. Now take my patented Little Wonder adjustable haircutting bowl. Think what that would have meant to the people. Why, I approached thousands of businessmen to put it on the market, and what was the answer? No.
Well, maybe it was no good.
No, sir. They wouldn't do it because the Barber Trust had gotten to them behind my back and bribed them not to. That's business for you. The big fellows ganging up against the little fellow.
No, now look here, Wendy. You're off your head.
Now, Lou.
I mean you're mistaken. That ancient cry that the little fellows have no chance in business is just a childish defense for lack of initiative. Who are the big fellows anyway? Why, they're the little fellows who've been willing to work hard enough under the same rules that apply to you and me and become big fellows.
So you're sucker enough to believe that all business is honest?
Oh, of course not. There are dishonest businessmen and laws provided for their punishment. There are also dishonest politicians, teachers, lawyers, cooks, and traveling salesmen.
No, Luke. You're deluding yourself. Business has gotten to be taken out of the hands of businessmen.
Yes, and put into the hands of theorists who never met a payroll for workers on Saturday, I suppose. with the pious hope that they'll suddenly become practical and experienced. I should think even you would have sense enough to...
Luke, dear, perhaps we'd better talk about something else.
No, Myra, my intelligence has been questioned. And it's a blow, Myra, a blow to realize that your own blood brother is not welcome in your home.
Why, Bill, dear, why, how can you think that of us? Why, of course we're glad to have you here, aren't we, Luke?
Yes, of course. It's just that I see red when people stand idly on the sidelines throwing bricks while industry struggles to solve its troubles.
Idle? It's a canard. You infer that I am idle. I, who have expended months of extensive thought upon the salvation of my country. Why, it's slander.
Now, Bill, Luke didn't mean it personally.
And what you ask me is the result of those months of research.
I didn't ask you, but what?
The Windy Bill Winkle Plan for the Simon Pure operation of business and kindred undertaking.
Yeah, I was afraid it would be something like that. What does it mean?
Well, now it works like this. The trouble with business is that the people who run it are personally interested in it.
Yeah.
If it were turned over to politicians, they'd be interested in it, too. So what we need is disinterested management of business. Now, under my plan, there'd be a committee of 10, selected every week. The names could be picked out of the hat by a little child.
Mm-hmm.
Result? Impersonal management. No chance for graft. Profits turned over to a committee of charitable intentions toward the unfortunate, and everybody's happy.
Oh, my sainted aunt. And aren't you going to organize clubs in every town? They always do.
Colossal, isn't it? Naturally, you ask, where do we come in?
We?
Sure. Of course, we don't profit from the plan direct. Nobody does.
You're right. Nobody.
Well, of course, the country at large. But here's how we get ours. We bring the plan before the people directly. We start with the Centerville Herald. Then as contributions roll in from enthusiastic backers, we buy up other little papers until we have a chain all across the land with the people solidly behind us.
Now, stop right there. I've been very patient with you up to this point, but there's one thing I want to make clear. Get the Herald out of your head. Or if you as so much as put one foot across the doorway of my newspaper office,
May I speak to you in the library for a minute?
Oh, there's no use talking to him, Myra. But while you're trying, I think I'll retire to the pantry for a snack. You don't mind.
Why, of course not, Bill. Excuse us.
Is old fish bait finally gone out?
Hush, Betty, no. Now listen, you two. After all, Bill is my brother.
I wouldn't even mention it if I were you, Mother.
Oh, I know he's difficult, but...
The word is impossible.
But please try to be nice to him. It's only for a little while.
You're optimistic, unless you're contemplating fratricide, and I wouldn't blame you. He's already announced that he wouldn't soil his hands by working. That means he's settled on us for life.
I know, but... But after a bit, I'll talk to him tactfully and point out...
Tactfully? To Windy Bill?
Well, plainly then. In the meantime, he really is harmless. Nobody will take his wild ideas seriously. So we'll just have to tolerate him.
How long do you suppose it'll take to pry him off from us?
Oh, a couple of months ought to be enough.
Months? Then I think I'll set my wedding date forward. Even if our house isn't done, Dick and I can live at his boarding house... And something tells me it'll be much easier to tolerate Uncle Windy from there.
There, Myra. Now, you see what he's done already? Driven our children out of their home. Why, the man's a menace. And what happens to that trip we were going to take? We have to give it up, stay home, nurse a brainless ne'er-do-well who wants somebody to support him.
Oh, dear, I don't know what to do. I can't drive him out.
Well, Mother, you're not going to cry, are you?
Well, I can't help it.
Oh, don't, Mother. I didn't mean it, honest. I'll stick with you and be nice to him, too. Only don't cry.
I'm sorry, Myra. We shouldn't have taken it out on you. We'll tolerate him with our dying breath, if necessary. He can occupy our spare room indefinitely. I'll let him borrow my shirts and ties without a murmur. He can park that weird contraption he calls an automobile out in front forever. He can spout liberalism till he's blue in the face. And I'll only smile gently. No, isn't that better?
You dears, I knew I could depend on you.
But... He cannot inflict himself upon the Centerville Herald. I draw the line there.
Oh, of course not, Luke. I'll keep him away from it somehow. Now we'd better go back to him. He'll be wondering what we're up to.
Well, maybe you and he would like to have a nice little quiet chat together. Hmm? You know, I really ought to go over some work for the office.
Oh, but Luke, you know I broadcast tonight. I thought you'd entertain him till
Why, Mother, the very thing for Uncle Windy. Oh, I'm sure he'd love to see your broadcast, Mother. Why don't you take him with you?
Well, I don't know.
Well, what goes on? Everybody hiding? I never saw such people for sitting around doing nothing.
Why, we were just discussing Myra's broadcast.
Broadcasting?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you know about that? Say, there's something your old brother Bill can give you pointers on, Myra. Why, I've done some broadcasting myself in a small way, and I knocked them dead. It's all in the technique.
Myra thought you might like to go along tonight.
Unless you're too tired.
Tired? Nothing. When do you go on?
8:30. But do you really think that you...
Well, let's go then. We'll just have time for a couple of rehearsals. I'll show you how to wow 'em. Listen in, you folks, and see how she'll improve.
Yes. That was a stroke of genius, Betty. Also a dirty trick to play on your mother. And now, where's that novel I was reading?
Well, we'll have plenty of chances to do our good deed by him. Say, what about that work you were going to do?
Oh, that. Oh, that can wait till tomorrow.
Seems nice and peaceful now, doesn't it?
You're a lucky girl, Betty. Dick's an orphan.
Good evening, Mr. Conrad. This is my brother, Bill Winkle.
How do you do?
Is it all right to have a guest?
Why, certainly.
Guest? Nothing. I'm her manager.
Oh, really?
Now, let's see. We'd better go over it with the announcement for timing. Oh, table mic, eh? Use a standing mic myself.
Well, I like the table microphone.
It'll have to do, I guess. All right, carry on, Mr. Announcer.
Well, we always use the same announcement. It runs 45 seconds ordinarily.
But this isn't an ordinary broadcast. This is a Bill Winkle production. Come on now. Ready? Go.
We take great pleasure in presenting at this time Mrs. Luke Robbins.
No. More punch. Why, gag it up. Take it big. Like this. And now, friends, we are happy and proud to present the charming little lady, Mrs. Robinson. Myra to you. In a delightful little thing of her own, entitled...
Oh, now, Bill, it isn't that kind of a program. I'm not going to do imitations.
Would you excuse me a minute? I have to see the manager about something. Be right back.
Oh, no cooperation. And however, let's get on with to your part now. Now, just use a normal tone, Myra. Be natural. Easy.
Yes, I know. I've done it before.
Let's hear it now.
The subject of tonight's discussion is the unsung harmonies of the business world. We are going to consider the many cases of satisfactory and established harmonious relationships between employers and employees.
No, wait a minute, Myra. That won't do at all. Of course, your material is no good, but your delivery is not so hot either.
What?
You ought to be further away from the mic and give it a little more volume.
But the engineer says I should stand close.
Oh, what does the engineer know about art? Now, look. Watch me.
I'm sorry, Mr. Winkle, but the manager just passed a new ruling. All guests are barred from the studio. But the engineers will be glad to let you sit in the control room and listen.
Nonsense. Why, Myra couldn't go on without me. Where is this manager? I'll tell him a thing or two about broadcasting.
Right this way, Mr. Winkle. You'll find the control room very interesting, I'm sure.
But you don't realize.
That's all right.
And that's how Windy Bill got into and out of his radio career. Unfortunately, the Robinson home is not provided with a control room into which this champion pest can be banished. But Editor Luke may yet devise a way of restoring the peace and tranquility of his family life. Perhaps in our next program. Until then, goodbye. The American Family Robinson, which is broadcast regularly over this station, is produced by the National Industrial Council.